Good morning, everybody. Thanks so much for being here this morning. If I did not get a chance to meet you this morning yet, I'd love to do that. I'd love to hear your name and maybe how you made your way to the campus here and connect a little bit. I want to draw your attention just to one thing coming up here. I know Austin gave you a bunch of great things to connect with. I also want you to know about Discovery coming up here on August 30th. That's going to be right after this service on August 30th. If you have not come to Discovery yet, it is probably the best first step for you if you're trying to learn a little bit more about our campus. If you're trying to figure out kind of what we do, why we exist, all that stuff. I lead that, would get a chance to talk to you, answer any questions you might have. And it's also a great opportunity for you to meet some other people who are newer to the campus as well. So I encourage you, if you haven't done that, to do it. We'll have lunch for you. We'll watch the kids for you, whatever you need for that. And that is really the beginning if you're looking to make Grace Church your home. So make time for that if you can. And just wanted to get that in front of your schedule as we're rapidly approaching the fall when everyone's schedule fills up. So wanted to get that on your calendar. If you've already done that, it's also the first step to becoming a member here at Grace. If you are looking to be a member at the church, all of that starts with Discovery. And then we have Foundations courses that are coming up here as well, which is kind of the rest of everything in membership. So there's a bunch of different classes there you can engage. Most of those are during our first service. Some of those are like beliefs of the church. We'll get a little deeper into that, deeper into spiritual formation, those sorts of things as you move through to become members of Grace. So all of that's coming up. Make sure you know about it. Get those dates. You can sign up for those now and kind of get it on your calendar, but we'd love to have you be a part of any of those that would be helpful. Now we're going to jump into a series that we started a couple weeks ago here. If you've missed any of it, you can catch up on our YouTube page and see the last couple weeks, and this one will be there too if you feel like sharing it or watching it again. But what we've been talking about is being ambassadors for Christ over the next over the last few weeks. And if you've hung around with us, you know a couple of things. One is there's something for everyone in this message. One, if you're not a follower of Jesus, you'll get an opportunity to see as we are followers of Jesus trying to share God's love with people, this is actually the way it should happen. So depending on your experience and how people have brought Christ to you, you'll get an idea of if that is the right way to do it, or maybe been hurt by that, an opportunity to see what God is actually asking us to do. And as followers of Jesus, what we've really been looking into is seeing this is part of who God has created us to be as ambassadors, and it's actually the work that he's given us to do. Here's what the Bible would say about this in 2 Corinthians as we look about what does God actually give us to do. It says this: this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun, and all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. So you see it here in this verse. God says the message of reconciliation that he's given to us and actually describes it as a task here, which is an interesting thing to think about. It is not only just a part of who we are, but it is also something God has given us to actually go out and do. And there's work to be done there. Here's, though, the interesting part is describing what part of the work is ours and what part of the work is God's. This is something that if you grew up in church, you may not be totally clear on. I remember growing up in church and often being asked the question, how many people have you led to Christ? And I was like, none, as far as I am aware of. But I do tell people about my faith, so I'm a little confused there on what work is mine, what work is God's. And it became a thing that kind of was a little heavy there. But here's how the Bible describes what the work is. Paul is talking about what's happening, and Paul would say this: remember, I planted the seed in your hearts, Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. So when we think about our work, this task that God has given us, our role in this is to say, we're going to think, I was thinking about a farming analogy, but I know there are actual farmers here, so I didn't want to go too far on that because I really don't know what I'm doing. I've killed a lot of plants. So it's like, it's best that we just stick right here to what it says. And what we see is that it's our job to just spread the seed, right? To give it water. You think about growing a plant, whether you failed at that or not, the things that you can do are plant the seeds, pray that they will grow, and see what happens. Similarly, when we are sharing Christ with people and we're living out our faith, taking this message to the world, we're planting the seeds. We're watering them by praying for those that receive it, and we watch God do the work. Here's how I would actually describe this if we're saying, what work is ours? Here's our part to play. Our part is to share the message and pray for those who may receive it while being ready to help someone make a decision to follow Christ when they're ready. That's the work. And you might do all of this, you might do a piece of it, but the goal is to be faithful and obedient to the part that God has actually asked us to do, and to celebrate and to watch and see the work that God does that only he can do, which is what makes him an awesome God there. But here's what we know is, as easily described as this is, it's not always easy to do it. I don't know if you've ever tried to share your faith before, and maybe it's gone well or not. A couple weeks ago, if you want to hear the story, you can go back and listen. I shared with you how I kind of miserably failed at that one time. I was like, what if I did this? And it did not work. I've had some failures in that. And it becomes a little hard to figure out, how do we do this? But I know that it's something that not all of us have experienced. And I was reading a study this week that said that 52% of Christians are, that's the only amount, 52% are the ones who actually think that their job is to go and share the gospel with people. So only 52% of people who say, I'm a follower of Jesus, see that as their work to do. That means that at least half of us aren't sure it's even our job, and probably even more of us are unsure of how to do it, when to do it, what it looks like. So this is why it's so important that we talk about this here, because we're going to know that as we're telling others about Jesus, it can be difficult to do that. And so what we want to do is look at some of the areas we might be. I think there's a couple places we might be in this. Just from my experience, I'm like, there's times where I've been afraid to do it. There's been times where I feel unprepared to do it. There's been times that I've been totally unaware of what God is doing around me and what he's asking me to do. And there's times where I've just plain done it wrong. And so I want to look at a couple places where I feel like we might land. First is this, we might be a little overzealous about what we're doing. I remember early on in my faith, I was like, what if I just told everybody they were wrong when they're wrong? Like, if I just say what's in here, how could that be wrong? And it's like guns blazing activity. And you're like, you realize pretty quick, not helpful, not necessarily the first thing people need to hear. I'm like forcing things. I'm like, we can make this happen. I'm like, I had a little bit of tenacity when I was in that phase of my life. You might be there too. You're like, I am like, everybody's going to know. And in the 90s, when I grew up in the 2000s, they were like, what if we made really cool t-shirts with phrases on them so that you're always telling people about Jesus? I'm like, I love the sentiment, not sure about the execution. So someone bought me a shirt once that said, stick with Jesus. I played the drums, and they're like, here's some drumsticks, and it says, stick with Jesus. And I was like, and that can go over here in the shirt drawer that we don't wear. And I put that away. But that was like the attempts. So we might be overzealous. We're like, we're just going to make this happen. I got my coffee cup. I'm going to loudly open my Bible in the coffee shop so people will see it. You're like making weird stuff happen. Right? We might be there. We might be here as well. Oftentimes, we're just reluctant to do it. Sometimes, we're just hesitant. We're not sure. We're like, is God really doing something here? Should I be doing this here? Am I going to do it the right way? I'm not sure I'm the right person for this. We might just be a little scared of it, maybe scared of the opportunity itself. Maybe some of them were like, I'll do that, no problem. Other ones were like, I don't know if I'm the right person for that job. Sometimes we're just unwilling, right? Just judging by that study, there's at least some of us that are like, I don't think I want to do that, Aaron, if I'm being totally honest with you. Don't want to do it. I'm an introvert. I don't talk to people. That's the way I live. I put my head down. I do my things. I love Jesus and everything he has to say. Not sure about this whole thing, right? Maybe we're there. Here's the other part we might be, is we might just be unaware, and we've kind of lost track or don't know what the mission is. See, as followers of Jesus, we have to know that the mission that Christ is on is to seek and to save the lost. That's what Jesus came for. And so when we, there's times where we can even grow up in church and we can hear a lot of things that sound like what God has done for me, and it's all about me, and it's me and God, and you're like, all of that is important. We need to know our relationship with Christ. But there's a point where we mature and we shift into seeing what being a part of the mission of what Christ has given us looks like. And we start to do that. Oftentimes, we may just not know what the mission is. You might be like, Aaron, I'm a brand new follower of Jesus, like this Easter, this like 2 weeks ago, like yesterday, and I don't really know what I'm doing other than I needed Jesus in my life. And I'm like, great. You might just be unaware. And so what we're going to do is just teach you, what does it mean to be an ambassador for Christ as we're taking this world there? And we might be in one of these categories. We might have been in several in different places in our life. But the question is then, okay, so how do we do this? Luckily for us, the Bible describes a lot of this as well. Here's what I love in 1 Peter. It says this. By the way, if you don't have a Bible, there's some in the seats in front of you there. You can turn with us. You can look on the screen as well. If you don't have a Bible at home, please take that one home. We'd love for that to be yours. Here's what it says in 1 Peter 3:15-16. It says, instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. But do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. If people speak against you, they will be ashamed at when they see what a good life you live because of Christ. So we see right here, it describes kind of what we're supposed to do, how we would play this out. So if we're in one of these categories and we're looking to say, okay, if I'm here and I want to move, where do I move to? Or like, here's what the Bible would tell us to do. A couple things come out of this passage that we see here. The first one is this, is keep Christ at the center of our lives. This one seems really nice thing to say. This is probably something they put on a t-shirt at some point. You're like, but what does this actually mean if I'm keeping Christ at the center of my life? As I'm living life, and this has just been a personal experience of mine, it is much easier when I think about telling people about Jesus to do it because I think that they need it, but also because it's just easy for me in that instance. Sometimes I'm like, the only thing I'm doing is mostly life is about me. Right? That's what life is. It is really tempting for us to just believe that life is all about us. Our culture would definitely support that idea. They're like, yeah, life is for you and you alone. When we talk about keeping Christ at the center of our lives, what we're doing is inviting Christ in our lives and saying, my life is centered here. So life isn't just about me. Life isn't just about what I can produce. Life isn't just about what I'm doing. God isn't only here just for me. What I'm doing is, if Christ is the center of my life, it gives me motivation to say, Christ has come to save me. Now I look and say, what would Christ do? Well, he's given us a mission to go on. He's given me purpose to go out and look at this, and I want to keep Christ at the center of my life. So I'm not going and saying, well, I'm telling these people because they're wrong. No, I'm telling them because of what Jesus has done in my life. I'm centering Christ in the ways he would live in my life, because at the end of the day, life could be about a lot of things. Even as a follower of Jesus, I could add a bunch of things into what life is about. But the reality is, if we keep Christ at the center of our lives, what happens is we begin to understand that what life is actually about is God and his kingdom here on this earth and what he's trying to do. And so that can focus us. It can give us desire, and it helps to keep us out of the weeds as we're following Jesus, as we're looking to understand who Jesus is. And we want to keep Christ at the center. So I'm less likely to pursue selfish things in church. I realize that life isn't just about showing up on Sundays, right? It's important to be a part of a community. It's not just about that. I'm keeping Christ at the center of my life. Here's the next thing we see is look for these no-brainer moments. In that passage, it talks about being ready to give a reason for the hope that you have. What it doesn't describe is someone going out and making a bunch of opportunities. The longer I've followed Jesus, what I've realized is that the opportunities will come to you. If I'm keeping Christ at the center of my life and I'm in on the mission, what happens is the opportunities start to come to me. I used to walk around thinking I have to make things happen all the time if I'm going to share Christ with people. So I got to wear the shirt. I got to do the thing. I got to like go up and talk to my neighbor, and like I have to get to the point really quick, and I got to do this, and I got to get it there. And I'm not saying that can't happen, but a lot of times I would cause myself some undue anxiety and some undue burden because I'm just trying to make opportunities happen. The way this passage describes it, and the way that I'm convinced that it actually happens more and more in life, is that people will get there eventually. If Christ is the center of your life and you're praying for opportunity here, what happens is people are going to bring it up to you. I remember at one point in my life, there's a person in my life that I was praying for and I was really hoping for opportunity with, and I thought, what can I do to like casually bring Jesus up? And you're like, it's just not a good time. Like, no, it's as awkward as when you're like when you're younger and you were dating and you're like trying to look for a reason to bring something up, or you're like, you're making awkward conversation. You're like, it's just not as great, right? It's not good to have it be manufactured. What actually happened, because I realized that's probably not going to work, because I didn't want to just be like, walking by and be like, so what do you think about Jesus? I'm like, you could do that. Some people are gifted enough to do that. Not me, I don't think. So like, what do you think about that whole church thing? Pretty crazy, huh? Like, and you're like, you just don't know where that's going to go. And you're like, I might have to see this person again. So I should probably look for the no-brainer moments. And sometimes they're that, where you know you can ask that person this. Here's what happened to me, though, as I was thinking through that and praying for opportunity. What actually happened is one time they called me on the phone. And they were like, I'm going through some stuff, and I need to know what Jesus would think about this. And I'm like, oh, well, that was pretty easy. I didn't have to do anything. He actually rang my phone. I gave him my phone number. And here's what I asked. I was like, so why are you asking me this? Like, why are you asking me what Jesus? And here was the response, because as you realize, people don't always know everything. This was an uncomfortable moment for me. He goes, well, you're a man of the cloth, which is a very Catholic thing. I didn't even know what it was. I was like, what does that mean? He's like, you know, a priest. And I was like, okay, we won't have that conversation right now. But I'm like, I love that you thought of me for that. And so I'm like, Lord, help me not to fumble this opportunity. But that opportunity came to me, it was a no-brainer moment. The more and more I've lived in my life this way, and I think it's the same for all of us, is you don't have to manufacture these opportunities. Because remember, your goal is to not do all of it in one conversation, one sitting, one random stop by. What you're doing is you're sowing the seed. You're watering it. God's going to make it grow. You might have the privilege to see someone go from not knowing anything about Jesus, not knowing anything at all, to knowing Jesus. Or you might just be the person who loved them well in a situation, and that was your part to play. And they're like, why would you do that for me? And you're like, because Jesus has changed my life, and that's all you said. You don't know where you're going to be. But these no-brainer moments will come up here. And so our goal, what we want to do, is to be prepared for that moment. Part of the story that I shared a couple weeks ago was the fact that I wasn't prepared. And so instead of sharing my story with them, I tried to share the entire story of the Bible in one sitting. Not very helpful. The no-brainer moment involves being prepared for that. The work you can do right now, instead of manufacturing things, is to say, what if I got solid on how Jesus has changed my life? What I actually believe, what he's done for me. In the same way that when people come to you in the hardest moment, this passage would also say with graciousness, with respect for what's going on in their life. There is a lot of things that I could say that are in here that God would agree with that are not always helpful the first time I meet someone. Because they might be going through something really difficult and they just, right now, I need to be listening, I need to be compassionate, and it's God who's going to do the work in their life later. I don't need to convict them of sin. That's not my job, right? I'm not the morality police here. My job isn't to tell them everything they've never heard, right? My job is to steward the opportunity God has put in front of me. And here's the last thing we would do is this passage described as to fight for a clear conscience. Here's some of it too, as you think about going into this, a lot of times we often wonder, we see things around us and we're like, is that my job to go tell that person about Jesus? Do I have to tell this person? Do I have to tell this person? Like, what? How do I know if this is from God or if it's not? And you can really get mixed up in that. You're like, was that an opportunity? Here's what I know for sure. There are times in my life, I'm sure you felt the same way, where I have felt like I should share Christ with someone and I haven't. And I felt pretty bad about that. I'm like, maybe I could have done more there. Didn't know what I was, I didn't realize till after. There are also times in my life where I've done something and I'm like, I think I just did that because I felt guilty about not doing it. And I'm not sure God was involved in that at all. And I left that a little more confused. I'm like, which spot am I going to be in? Here's what we're fighting for, is a clear conscience. Here's what that looks like. What we see is the world around us, God is going to entrust you and I with different opportunities. You, as far as I know, we're not all coworkers at the same place. We don't interact with the same sports teams and schools. We don't even, you know, I'm just assuming everyone's an Ohio State fan. We just have to do that for, you know, for life. And here's what we realize is we're not all in the same place. God has put us in different places. He's given us different skills. He's given us uniqueness. And so the opportunities are going to look different for everyone. So there is not a playbook where I can say, if these requirements are met, share Jesus with that person. That's God. What we're doing is fighting for a clear conscience. If you feel that God is asking you to do something, do that thing. Don't over-spiritualize it. Don't under-spiritualize. Like, everything could be an opportunity. Everything is not an opportunity. The goal is that on the front side, as I'm preparing, that I would be connected enough with the Lord, that I would be prayerful enough about engaging this mission that I would be clear on when my conscience would be clear as I interact or don't. There's times for me where I've interacted with people or I've said no to things and I'm like, could it be? I'm like, God's ultimately in control of that. When I feel like God is asking me to do something, that's when I'm going to do it. And we'll feel the opposite effects of that at times. Here's another way that, that happens sometimes. Sometimes they go through all the slides, and then I have to go back. Here we go. That was probably my fault somehow. Here's what the Bible would say about why this is all important to consider these things. Colossians 4, 5, and 6 says this, live wisely among those who are not believers. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so you will have the right response for everyone. This is an awesome verse because it is freeing in some ways, and it helps us see what is our goal, what are we doing as we interact and talk with people. Right? We're going to live wisely, right? That means that we are not going to do everything the same way, right? What's wise for me is we're among people that we're trying to share with. We want to make the most of every opportunity that God puts in front of us, right? We're using that. And our conversation is going to be gracious so we have the right response. That means that it's not a one kind of response for every person. I've had opportunities where I have been able to share the gospel with people in a moment. There's other times where you just show up and serve. There's other times when you show up and listen. There's other times where I'm like, if I say this piece right now, I don't know if this is a time conversation one thing to say, because that's painful. Sometimes it's painful to hear about God. So I'm trying to think, God, would you go with me in this? Help me to be gracious so I can have a right response for everyone as I live among them. So Colossians would describe this for us. So as we think about this and we start to consider these things, whatever camp you're in, I think there's a couple things for us to consider. If we're the overzealous people at times, if that's going to be where you trend, if that's going to be where you're like, yep, that's me, Aaron, I knew exactly what you were talking about, here's what you have to realize. You are not an enforcer. You're not an enforcer. We're ambassadors. So if you're a person that you're like, I can't wait to get after it, I can't wait to tell people about Jesus. I'm like, I love the energy, and let's focus it on the thing that's helpful, right? This is what if I could go back and tell my younger self something, I'm like, this is what I would say to me. I'm like, if you could just focus that energy into the right thing. What I'm doing as a person who's over this, I want Christ to lead those things. I'm sharing him. I don't want to make things happen, so I'm not going to force him to take them as they come. Right, and what I'm doing is I'm sharing a message. I'm not fixing behavior. That means that I'm not forcing it to the end result of a changed life. I'm being faithful and obedient to the part. So I have to work on patience if I'm in this boat. Be patient with opportunities coming. Be patient with the people I'm interacting with. Be gracious to them. I'm not going to just go in and be like, all right, everybody's getting fixed today at like the family gathering. You're like, maybe slow your roll. Just ease on in there. You're probably going to have a better time, right? And I'm not like, you have to feel it out because at some point there's risk involved and all that stuff, but you have to think about those relationships. Be wise about it. So we want to consider that if we tend to be overzealous. Remember, we're not enforcers. We're not morality police. We're not any of that. We're helping people hear the message of the gospel. Take it as it comes. Here's the other thing. If you are a person who tends to be more reluctant, if you're more reluctant, I think this is probably where most people are. If you're like, Aaron, I'm introverted, and everything you are saying today means that I might have to tap into what little extroversion I have. Here's what I would say to you. If you want to grow in your faith, if you feel stuck, if you're not sure where you are and you tend to be more reluctant, if you are looking for a way to grow in your faith, start sharing your faith with people. It will be uncomfortable. It will grow you. It will change you. Because here's what you need to know, though, is as you do that, you just need to be yourself. You don't have to be someone else. The sharing the mission, sharing the gospel with people is not about being extroverted. It can be painted that way. Well, you got to get out and you got to tell 100 people in a day. You're like, no, that's for weirdos like Aaron. He could talk to 100 people a day. Right? That's my version. I'm like, I want to talk to everyone. I want to see the sheets like cashier, and I want to go to that same one all the time. And I want to get to know the Chipotle worker. I'm like, that's me. Some of you are like, if I could get out of anywhere without talking to anyone, that's a win. You're like, if I don't have to make eye contact, it's even better. You're like, but here's what you got to know as you're doing this. You have to be yourself. Here's what I mean by that is this. You're going to have to get out of your comfort zone. I'm not saying just, you know, do it as you're comfortable. You're going to have to get out of your comfort zone. So do I. But if you're a good listener, listen. That's great. That's your goal. Use that. If you're a person who's not as outgoing, but you connect better one-on-one, you're like, do that. Because as uniquely as you are created, so are other people. There are people who want me to get away from them. I'm their worst nightmare. Like an extrovert. You know, I'm like, I'm coming down. They know I'm, when we were in a neighborhood, I was like, if we're living in a neighborhood, I'm like, God, would you help me to have an interaction with every person in this neighborhood? Every single one. And there are people, I'm sure, in my neighborhood that were like, they see me outside and they're like, I know this guy's going to try to talk to me and I'm going inside. I'm going to shut the doors. I'm going to lock them. I'm going to put the blinds down because I don't even want to see his face. Right? There's other people who are like me. They're like, I've been dying to talk to somebody today and I live alone because I'm a widow now. I'm like, great. Here's what we learn though. Whatever you are, however God has made you, you need to engage that. If you're outgoing, be outgoing on mission for Christ. If you're better at there, if you're great at serving people, serve them. Listen to them. Walk alongside them in a tough time. Whatever you're good at, but you may have to push yourself to initiate. It's going to be your challenge. If it involves meeting people, I'm like, don't tempt me with a good time. That sounds great. Some of you are like, my worst nightmare. So you might have to push yourself to go and initiate that. You don't need all the answers. It doesn't have to be a long conversation. But what it has to be is something that you do. Right? You have to initiate that. If you don't have all the answers, be comfortable saying, I don't know that. I'm pretty new at this whole being a follower of Jesus thing. He's just really changed my life, and it's a good way to live. But I will go find that for you. I'm learning too. Why don't you come to church with me? Whatever, you know, whatever it is that you need to do. But if you want to grow, share your faith. If you're a little restless about it and you're there, but be yourself. Be yourself there and initiate that. And here's what I would say if you're in the camp of being unaware, if you're unaware, here's what you might need to do is to focus on and understand God's mission. If you grew up in church and it was very inward focused, well, if people come here, well, the pastor will tell them. If I invite somebody, I'm like, I'm looking at you guys like, you are the best person in your people's life to tell them about Jesus. I believe that. I think it's what the Bible asks me to do is to prepare you. I'm going to share Jesus with who's ever in the room. But God would ask me to equip people to go do that work, to empower them to do it, to help you see that you can. Right? There are people in your life who you might be the only person that they'll listen to. Might be true. You might be the only person that has good standing. They might not trust a church yet. They might, whatever it is, but you have that. So if you're unaware of that, you need to know the mission God gave us was to seek and to save the lost. And you have a part, you and I have a part to play in what God is doing here on this earth. And what we'll begin to realize is if we lose focus of that, as we lose focus of that mission, we lose our purpose for life. Right? If all we do is come to church and all we do is get up and read the Bible in the morning, you're like, that's an important part of following Jesus. But if we're not connected to the heart and the mission of God, our life is going to feel a little purposeless because we're not engaging the whole thing. And so we might have to say, you know, God, help me to find my people. Help me be more aware of what you're trying to do around me in my life. Help me to look at my job as a potential opportunity. Help me to find a person to connect with in the name of the gospel. God, help me to leave church and not just come back next week, but to come back with people on my mind. The greater awareness you have, the more no-brainer moments you have. And here's the thing, if you're a new follower of Jesus too, you might just have been unaware of this. You need to work on deeply understanding God's heart for the people who don't know him yet. He loves you. He loves me. That's why he extended salvation to us. We're in his family. If we're followers of Jesus, we are now children of God. There are people that God is being patient for. There are people who don't know him that he desperately wants to know him, and he has invited us into that mission. Until every person is reached, and many of you are connected to them. And so God gives us that mission. We may need to discover that. Here's the thing that we realize at some point, no matter what place we're in, all of these are going to lead to conversations. We're going to have to do some talking. Doesn't have to be a lot, but that's going to lead there. So as we realize that and we come from maybe where we're at, here's some things for all of us to remember. Here's a couple of things for us. The first one is this. I think this is the greatest tool we have, if I can get it to go. The first thing I would say is become curious. Maybe you know too, maybe it's not a revelation, but as I like talk to people in this world, and we interact with people as our kids do sports and different things, I'm like talking to people, and what I realize is most people have no one in their life who asks them any questions. No one. I start talking to people, and I was a complete stranger right before that, and they will answer questions about their life, their work, their marriage, where they're at with their kids, and I'm like, there is a need there. I think the greatest opportunity in the church lies in becoming curious about people's lives. I really think it does. And here's how I can prove it to you. Because one of the things that my wife and I have talked about recently often is that it feels like no one ever asks any questions. I'm like, what happened in culture where we just don't ask people things anymore? Or it feels like we're like, what's happening? And we remember the people who ask us about our lives, the people who genuinely exercise care for us, we remember them in a deep way. And just simple questions are super impactful. Like they asked me how things were going and then they listened and they were like, man, that seems like you have a lot. They asked a follow-up question. I'm like, unheard of. Most of the people in your life are probably waiting for someone like that. And all we have to do is ask a question and ask a follow-up question. It's really not hard. I think it's a huge opportunity for all of us to go into relationships and just to be curious about people's lives, like where they're at. Not nosy, don't be nosy, watching you, right? Don't be nosy, be curious about what's going on when we look at people here. Here's the next thing I would say is ask to pray with people. This is a thing that I started doing a couple years ago, like experimenting with, and I can count a lot of times where I've prayed with people and times where, to be completely honest, I was comfortable saying, I'll pray for you later, not here. It was harder for me to say, could I pray with you now? Just being real about it. Because I'm like, I don't know what to say. This is a hard situation. Like, I don't feel totally, I'm like, what if it's awkward for them? Here's what I started doing. This happened one time with my kids in our neighborhood. They're like, when Enbridge bought all of Ohio and they put gas lines everywhere, there were guys working out there. And they were putting lines in, and I started talking to a guy because the kids were interested in the truck. And anyways, he started telling me about his daughter and his family, and he got to a point where he was, you know, tearing up. And I'm like, this is a risk because this guy's wearing a hard hat. He's tougher than me. He's worked way harder than I have today. And I'm going to ask him, can I pray with you in front of all of your blue-collar buddies? Not a super odd thing. He didn't turn me down. Now, I've been turned down before, and I didn't die, just a note for some of you, right? But here's the thing, is asking people to pray for them, to pray with them right now, is read the room. Like, don't command the room with your prayer. But if someone's describing to you that, like, yeah, I'm going through a really difficult time, instead of just being like, man, I'm sorry, say that, and then be like, could I pray for you? Like, and some, here's what I've gotten. Almost all yeses to people I wouldn't have even expected. Every once in a while, I get I'd maybe rather you didn't. I'm like, okay, well, could I pray for you later? And they're like, well, I guess that's fine. I'm like, good, I will. Easy thing to do, easy win here. Sometimes I think right now in our culture where people are lonely, they're disconnected, and to have someone genuinely care for them, and I think it just studies are showing too that people are just open more to spiritual things. Praying with people, awesome way to do it. Thing that you can do and insert in as you do this. Next thing is share your story. Part of the thing about being prepared is having a handle on your story. And now, what we don't want to do is make it all about us and have a 25-minute story of our lives. And I know it's kind of hard to cut down like 5 decades into like 5 minutes. Like a minute a decade, are you joking me? Like for those, and if you're older than that, like I don't know, I'll have to ask you how you do it because I don't know. It's a lot of things to put in there. Here's what I would say. As you share your story, here's what you focus on. because everyone can do this, is when you made a decision to follow Jesus, why did you do that? Why did you do that? And not only why did you do it, then what happened in your life now that you want to tell other people about it? Very simple. If you can build your story around that, and most of the time it sounds something like this: I was in a really difficult time, and I met Jesus in that time, and now he's transformed my life. And you can give as much detail to that as time allows or as they ask. For me, it was like I grew up in the church. I'm like, what do I say? I was born in church almost, or brought to church soon after I was born. What I say often is I grew up in church and it didn't make a lot of sense to me, but there was a time where Jesus made sense to me for the first time. And what happened is I realized over time it was the better way to live. And he's transformed every area of my life. He's the center of my whole life. Right? It's very short. But if you can get a handle on your story, later the questions about the Bible will come. Later you'll have an opportunity to maybe share some of the story of the Bible. I don't recommend sharing the whole thing at once. I tried it. I'm saying it doesn't work. But the time, your story is one of the most powerful things that you have there. And taking the time to write it out or articulate it in a way that's helpful. Here's the next thing I'd say is to invite people. And this can look like a lot of different things. I'm not just talking about inviting them to church. That is one of the things I mean. Inviting them to church, bringing them along. I think inviting the people that make sense into parts of your life, right? I never invited my whole neighborhood over for dinner. When we lived in a neighborhood, we had a couple neighbors that were closer to us that we did invite over for dinner because it made sense. It was kind of a no-brainer. We're like, we would spend more time with them. Inviting people into your life, inviting them to church. Like, hey, if you're curious about like how church is or a church is, like, I'd love for you to come with me some Sunday. Like, phenomenal. Inviting them to coffee. Like, whatever it means to connect with them and think about people in this way. And the last thing I would say is to change your question to not, should I do this? Or like, is this the right one? And say, what if I did this? If I feel like God is asking me to share Christ with someone and I look at it and like, that's going to be a challenging one. I don't know if they're going to listen. I don't know. I've talked to them before on some other things and I don't know how it is. And like, you're like me and you just make a few excuses. Instead of saying, should I, ask yourself, what if I did this? If I went, like just all other things aside, if God worked out all the details for me and helped me, which he will, like what would happen if I did this? If I planted the seed and I prayed for three people every day and I looked for opportunities, what would God grow that into? What would happen here? What could happen in my family? What could happen at the gas station I go to every day on the way to work? What could happen at my favorite? Like, what would happen here if I did this? It's a thing that's really exciting to start to think about things in different terms. This is just how my mind works. I'm like, we grew up, I didn't really want to live in a small house in a small city. Not really my ideal thing. I'm like, seeing people every time I walk out of my house, sometimes while I'm in my house, is just weird for me. I didn't grow up that way. And I was like, if we're going to be here, I really want to make a ton of impact here. So I'm like thinking about what if God gave me opportunity with my neighbors. Like I said, if you're not like me, like, God, is there one neighbor here that needs me to connect with them? Who is that? Pray for that every day. Then maybe you meet them. God, help me with this person. Right? Start to ask, what if I did this? And as we went through this, what happens is we're not just trying to find stuff in the wind. What happens is we're becoming obedient to what God has asked us to do. He's not a task thing. It's not a check someone off the list. It's not a markdown that I share Jesus with them. Like, you can do that if that helps you keep track of it. But what you're actually doing is obeying God when we do this. In whatever way that God has formed you and asked you to do it, we're showing obedience to God. Yeah, I don't really know a lot, but I know Jesus has changed my life, and I'd love for you to know about it too. Simple way to approach life. And as we do this, as we exercise wisdom so that we don't veer off into politics when we're talking about this, so we don't veer off into talking about something unhelpful, so we don't get focused on yelling at people like at football games and you wonder how they got those seats with the signs. Like, we don't want to veer off into all that stuff. We want to exercise wisdom in what we're doing with people because we care about them. This is the work that God puts in front of us here. And we get an opportunity to join with Christ in his mission for people as ambassadors. And so if you're a follower of Jesus, I encourage you to look at this part here. Look at these things. Find where, like, maybe it's just locating where you're at in that. Which camp am I most likely to be in? How can I work on this? If I need to be aware of it, whatever it is. If you're not a follower of Jesus, here's what I would tell you. If you're not a follower of Jesus, this is what we're trying to do. We're not trying to tell people that they're wrong. We're not trying to just force everyone to believe what we believe. What we're doing is, and we don't do it perfectly, we're trying to share the reason for the hope we have in Jesus. And so if you're in the room and you're not a follower of Jesus, that's what I would be doing. Right? We're having a little bit of a conversation with us today to get ready for this, but you need to know, like, that's what we're doing on Sundays, is sharing the reason for the hope we have in Jesus. And if you're here and you've never heard that hope, it's been delivered to you in an unkind way, it's been hammered, you've been told whatever, you need to know that Jesus does love you and wants a relationship with you. And there are things that, just like me and everyone else in the room, we have to work out with God. The Bible calls it sin, but you can have relationship with the God of the universe who loves you and wants relationship with you and wants to meet you where you are today in this room, however you got here, and he wants to move you to a place filled with purpose, with joy, and with hope in a future beyond what you can create for yourself. That's the good news that God has given us. It requires us to come to God, right, with humility, to tell him that we have sin, but you can have that relationship with him if you want to do that today. Here's what I want to do, is invite the band to come up to just give us all a little time here to consider these things. So during this first song especially, what I'd ask you to do is just to take a moment to be still. I can say a lot of things, but it's not helpful unless you spend time and connect with the Lord and what he wants to do in your life with it. Whether you're trying to sort out what's my place in this mission that God has put me on, maybe it's discovering passion for what God is passionate about there. Maybe it's changing the way you might engage this, whatever it is. Or even if it's starting a relationship with Jesus for the first time, realizing what the mission is and saying, man, I really want purpose. I really am in a difficult time and I need a God who loves me. And I didn't know if I was good enough to come in a relationship with him. Here's what you just need to know. He's going to meet you there. So whatever you need to talk about with God during this time, I encourage you to do that. I'd love it today if you walked away with even one thing out of this time to say, I think this is the part that God might want me to work on. Maybe it'll get more clear if you think about this through the week some, but as you do this, just know you're going to have some whiffs like I have. People are going to reject you. That doesn't mean you failed. And I believe 100% that God has put people in your path for you to share Christ with. And you're capable. He's capable of preparing you to do that. So whatever conclusion you come to, do that this week. If there's a way that we can help you, we would love to walk with you through anything. If you do get a question that you're like, I don't know the answer to that, we'd love to do our best to help you. If you get into a situation like, how do I share Christ in this specific thing? I'm struggling with it. Let us know. We'd love to answer that. Write a card in. Come find us. We'd love to talk with you. But spend this time with the Lord. Let me pray for us, and then we'll just have a moment with the Lord. God, thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for meeting us where we are today. God, as we have, maybe we've been doing this the wrong way, we've been overzealous, God. Maybe we've been reluctant. Maybe we've been unaware. God, you know where each person in this room is. You know which part of this we're going to struggle with. God, you know which part is easy for us. But God, would you help us to make the most of every opportunity? And God, as we are in relationship with you, or we begin a relationship with you, would you help to move us outside of ourselves to see that other people also need the opportunity to know you, to hear about you, Lord, and to be loved by you. So God, would you give us passion for your mission that you've put us on? Would you give us clarity on how to do it? Would you put people in our lives to do it with, God? And would your Holy Spirit guide us in every step of the way? God, through fear, through reluctantness, through overzealousness, God, whatever it is, just meet us right there. And God, if there are people in the room who don't know you, who need to begin a relationship with you, help them to know how simple it is to move into relationship with you, to just admit that they have sin, that they need your help. God, that you are faithful to meet them with forgiveness and relationship that will help move them to a life filled with passion, with purpose, Lord, and with a better way of living. God, we love you and we're thankful for everything you do for us. Amen.